ahead, this is Mountain Edition. I'm Courtney Howell.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
I made an open record request, which under law, you know, cities and counties and state government agencies are required to show their transparency and show, you know, that documentation to the public.
The Kentucky Attorney General's office has ruled the city of Moorhead violated the state's Open Records Act.
Ashland police are putting forth efforts to stop drug flow through cities and the city's Greyhound bus line.
Numerous bear sightings are being reported in Johnson County.
In sports, the Reds will attempt to win their seventh consecutive series in Pittsburgh this weekend.
Bud Luke has the Stocks report.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers, lows near 71. More weather after this news.
The Clay County Judge Executive is indicted along with the county road foreman. KNN's Ted Weirbin has the details.
A grand jury indicted Joe Asher and Buford Jarvis for abuse of public trust, bribery, and possession of a forged instrument. Both men are accused of using public money to do personal work at people's homes, then billing the public.
According to a Kentucky Attorney General's ruling, the city of Moorhead has violated the state's Open Records Act. At issue are documents that would indicate exactly where a building at the end of Fraley Drive that houses some mowing equipment and apartments is located. Neighbors want to know if it's within city limits, because if so, it would violate a local zoning ordinance. Moorhead officials maintain the structure stands just outside city limits. Some residents, including former Round County Circuit Judge Bill Maines, filed the open records complaint after Maine says the city reneged on a promise to provide officials documents that show exactly where the building sits.
They kept saying, trust us, it's not in the city limits. And we kept saying, well, let us see what you're basing that decision on. And we never could get a hold of that. So that's why I made the request. And then when they did respond, they would not give us a lot of the information that we thought might be relevant in terms of opinions of surveyors or other people that had looked at it that went into their decision.
The state attorney general's office notified Moorhead of the violation in a letter dated July 25th. The city was given 30 days to comply with a request or file an appeal.
Two eastern Kentucky airports are in line for some runway improvements, thanks to grants from the State Department of Aviation. The Big Sandy Regional Airport in Martin County is getting $2.4 million, while the West Liberty Airport will receive $450,000. Jerry Mays is that facility's manager, and he says that's good news.
We had actually had it on our wish list to do with federal grant money a little later, and then the Kentucky Department of Aviation told us they had some extra money in their budget, and they were going to pave it for us. They do an inspection of all the airports in the state each year, and they determined that we needed new pavement and told us they were going to pay for it, so we were thrilled.
All in all, the State Department of Aviation is providing $20 million in funding over the next 2 years to the 34 general-use airports around the Commonwealth.
State Representative Mike Denham is applauding the Kentucky Heritage Council for its work to preserve some historic row houses in Maysville where a tragic fire occurred in October 2015. The Mason County Democrat says the group's efforts helped save some brick buildings along West 2nd Street that dated back to the 1840s.
You all have made a difference, and I think most recently you've worked on that burned out section down there where unfortunately five people lost their lives, and that would have been demolished had you all not stepped up.
Denham made his comments to members of the Heritage Council at a committee hearing this week in Frankfort.
Authorities investigating the slayings of eight people from one Ohio family say they're operating under the theory that there were multiple attackers. Local and state investigators have released few details about the April shootings near Piketon, saying they don't want to jeopardize their chances of catching and convicting whoever's responsible. A spokesman for Ohio's Attorney General confirms investigators are working with the theory that it wasn't a single attacker. The Columbus Dispatch reports Pike County Sheriff Charles Reeder also referenced the suspicion of multiple killers Thursday while testifying in a court hearing related to custody of two of the three young children who weren't harmed in the attack. The relatives of the seven adults and teenage boy from the Roden family who were found dead at four homes on April 22nd.
Ashland police are stepping up efforts to try and stem the flow of drugs into the city through the Greyhound bus line. Officers made three arrests at the bus terminal Thursday and confiscated some 200 oxycodone pills. Many of those being charged with trafficking in the Boyd County community are from Detroit. However, Ashland Police Chief Todd Kelly says the pipeline needs to be severed regardless of where it starts. He spoke with WSAZ.
We're doing our part by trying to identify those individuals that are bringing it in here, even if it does just pass through or if it's being delivered here.
Kelly tells the Huntington Station dealers that have been using commercial buses to supply drugs to the tri-state area for some time.
Two women are held in a Portsmouth jail following a drug bust Wednesday in Scioto County, deputies in Southern Ohio Drug Task Force. The Portsmouth Daily Times is reporting that 31-year-old Jessica Mills and 46-year-old Shirley Pollard, both of Lucasville, are charged with trafficking in oxycodone and Xanax. They were arrested after police searched had a search warrant at 196 Center Street in Lucasville. Detectives say they seized more than 100 pills and over $700 in cash. The prosecutor's office says the case of Mills and Pollard will be presented to a Scioto County grand jury.
Voters in Flemingsburg may get the opportunity to decide on limited alcohol sales in their city. Mayor Marty Voyer says he's been discussing the matter with city council and other local officials since early in the year. He says several of them believe that allowing beer and wine sales at the town's restaurants would help the city in Fleming County with their economic development efforts.
Looking around at other places, we know that this is something that people often look at. One of the amenities of life, being able to go out to a restaurant, have a good meal, have a glass of wine, have a beer, that sort of thing. And that's pretty common in many areas of the country. And so when we're reaching out to folks and trying to interest them in coming to us, they're looking for those kind of things as well.
Voyer said it would take a successful petition drive to get the alcohol sales issue placed on the ballot. He says if that effort were to start in the near future, local voters could get the chance to cast ballots on the matter before the end of the year.
West Virginia officials say a coal miner has died from injuries during an accident last week. The State Office of Miners Health, Safety, and Training says Donald Workman died Thursday evening of injuries sustained in a July 29 accident at Road Fork No. 51 Spartan Mine in Pineville. The Gilbert resident was 58 years old. Officials say Workman was a maintenance supervisor and was on the surface during an ignition in the shaft of an underground mine. State inspectors are further investigating the incident and the cause of the ignition.
The owner of a Scott County cemetery accused of ripping off grieving customers is being told to complete his work or give customers a refund. Haley Hansen reports.
Dale Shackelford was sued by Attorney General Andy Beshear back in May for not installing headstones and grave markers, despite accepting thousands of dollars from paying customers. A state judge now has ordered Shackelford to complete the work or pay those family members back. Shackelford has not responded to the lawsuit, nor did he show up in court Thursday. Beshear says his office will continue checking in on the cemetery and take appropriate steps if he does not comply with the order. I'm Haley Hansen.
A recent drowning victim in Nicholas County has been identified. The Ledger Independent reports 61-year-old Lauren Griggs was found near the Blue Licks Dock on Abner Mill Road. Griggs had been fishing when his wife went to look for him after work. After only finding his fishing gear and dogs, a search ensued. Griggs's name was not released until after his family members were notified.
A man who escaped from prison in Lexington last year has been arrested in Florida. Officials at the Blackburn Correctional Complex in Lexington tell local news outlets that James Dennis was arrested on July 30th in Marion County, Florida. Dennis and another inmate escaped from Blackburn in April 2015. Dennis was serving a 13-year sentence after being convicted of making methamphetamine. The second inmate, Kelly Conway, was arrested in Texas in August 2015.
U of L's acting president says the school will continue to operate normally. Dr. Neville Pinto found out he was taking control of the school while on vacation and calls it an honor to be selected as the acting president. Pinto spoke with former President James Ramsey immediately after his resignation was accepted and says Ramsey briefed him on the school's current situation and was supportive of him. He also addressed the NCAA's investigation of the men's basketball program.
When the report comes out, we will, what we have said all along, we will react to it in a way that ensures that we are a better institution going forward.
Pinto does not see this as a long-term assignment and believes the national search for a new president will start once a board of trustees is established.
Johnson County State Representative Hubert Collins says an increasing number of his constituents are seeing bears near their homes. The Wittenville Democrat told officials with Kentucky's Department of Fish and Wildlife Thursday he has received quite a few calls about about it over the past 12 months.
This past year has been a year of people calling and coming saying, hey, what are we going to do? We have these bears around our house all the time, and they're concerned about it.
The Department of Fish and Wildlife says bears are becoming more numerous in Johnson and other Kentucky counties. Officials recommend putting household garbage in bear-proof containers and not leaving food outside. They also say the department has field representatives who work with individual homeowners concerned about bears. They are available for consultation by contacting the state fish and wildlife offices.
Republicans will have a lopsided advantage during political speeches at the Fancy Farm picnic, Suzanne Duvall reports.
The state's two Democratic statewide office holders, Attorney General Andy Beshear and Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes, are skipping Saturday's event in Western Kentucky. Both are citing family commitments. A state Republican Party spokesman says it's a sign the state Democratic Party is on the verge of becoming a regional party based in Louisville and Lexington. Republican U.S. Senator Rand Paul and his Democratic challenger Jim Gray will square off at Saturday's picnic. Other speakers include Senator Mitch McConnell and Governor Matt Bevin, both Republicans. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Shoppers in Ohio are getting a 3-day break from the state's sales tax as students prepare to head back to school. The state's sales tax holiday begins today and ends Sunday. The measure is aimed at helping back-to-school shoppers cut the cost of clothing and school supplies. The tax-exempt period applies to clothing items that cost $75 or less. That would include shoes, jackets, uniforms, and diapers. Classroom supplies and instructional materials are priced at $20 or less are also exempt. Such items include book bags, textbooks, notebooks, and pencils. This is the second year for the sales tax holiday following the popularity of the tax break last summer. Supporters say customers also buy other non-exempt goods while shopping during the holiday weekend. Switching now to the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight we've got mostly cloudy skies with scattered showers and thunderstorms, patchy valley fog with lows near 71 degrees, chance of rain at 30%. Tomorrow we should have mostly cloudy skies with patchy valley fog early, chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-80s, chance of rain at 50%. Tomorrow night we should have partly cloudy skies with patchy fog, lows in the mid-60s. On Sunday we should have sunny skies with patchy valley fog early, highs in the mid-80s. Sunday night we should have mostly clear skies with lows of around 60 in the valleys and in mid-60s on the ridges. And on Monday, we should have mostly cloudy skies with highs in the mid-80s. Taking a look at the temperatures in the local area, in Ashland, it's 89 degrees. Flemingsburg is 88 degrees. Inez is 87 degrees. Lexington is 89 degrees. Winchester is 89 degrees. And it is 89 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
The time is 4:43. Courtney Howell here with Sean Delaney, and we're glad you're with us on this Friday evening. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Morehead State University Professor John Modath. He wonders if our fascination with the tiny screens in our hands might be leading us to miss out on what Chicken Little was so worried about.
On March 17th last year in New York City's Greenwich Village, 37-year-old Tina Nugent, talking on her cell phone at the time, was struck and killed by falling construction debris. A similar killing occurred this past April in Midtown. Such accidents are tragic. But perhaps not as tragic as people who are looking down at their devices when they die, walking off piers and into fountains, in front of passing trains, into traffic, throwing themselves, as it were, under the bus. Maybe not all of this wasted life could be saved, but much of it could, if people would look anywhere but down. The digital hunch has been discussed in these terse minutes in past years, but it's time to revisit. The digital hunch is that declination of the head, forward and down, as if supplicating or readying oneself to kiss some bishop's ring. We lean down and forward into our devices, and thus we miss what is above us and what is in front of us. Doctors are warning us, researchers are proving, that submission to the devices in our hands is harming our bodies. Our necks feel the damage of the equivalent of 60 pounds of force at the thinnest part of the spine. Our hands and arms and elbows cramp from typing with fingertips, slaves to the wee screen, almost kissing the glow as we peck and poke and tweet and maybe occasionally read. Our eyesight suffers new forms of decay, electromagnetism and radio waves at all levels never experienced in strength and duration like these now bombard our crania. And worst of all, we signed up for this and pay hundreds or even thousands of dollars a year for the pleasure. All of the above might be bad enough, but could be the looking down is the most serious aspect. of this epidemic of submission to devices. Up is big. The sky is the biggest viewable object there is. There are magnificent, ephemeral things up there, and there are things that can take you out. There are meteors and planes and drones and buzzards. There are white owls and black crows. There are clouds the shape of your uncle's nose. Look up and around. There are things falling right now. Not the sky falling, but things we can see coming, if only we take a gander upwards and outwards now and then. We're like those poor folks on the sidewalks of the cities. If only they had been looking up, maybe they'd have been able to step aside. The youth of the future will ask one day, "Why didn't you see this coming?" And we may take a moment to look up from our devices and say, "We were playing Pokemon." Look up. Everything else looks better when you do. Oh, and looking forward's good, too.
Hell, you crazy.
I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. The time is 4:46. Sean Delaney has been keeping an eye on your sports world. He's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSBR comes from the Rowland County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and near the Morehead City Park. The Rowland County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud with homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. More information at 784-5457. The Rowland County Farmers Market is a certified Kentucky Proud Market. Seeking seven straight. Hello, good afternoon again. I am Sean Delaney with MSBR's Sports Report. Winners of six straight series, the Cincinnati Reds begin a weekend set with the Pirates tonight at 7:05 in Pittsburgh. Manager Brian Price is applauding the Reds players for giving him their best day in and day out, even though the club has spent much of 2016 mired in last place in the NL Central.
If you think about, you know, that some of the challenges of the season, and you look out there and see our everyday players and our regulars going out there and our bench guys picking up the regulars when I give them a shot. You know, they're playing hard and they're fighting, and it's a scenario where a lot of people could just shut it down, and nobody shut it down.
Anthony DeSclafani will carry his sparkling 6-0 record to the mound for the Reds. Highly touted rookie Jameson Taillon will throw for the Pirates. Longtime Yankees first baseman Mars Teixeira has announced his retirement. The 36-year-old veteran made the announcement at a press conference this afternoon. There he told reporters that Summers would no longer feel the same.
I'm one of those guys that, you know, is very thoughtful about my decisions and very confident with the decisions. And in a year, I'll be doing something else that'll be so rewarding in my life. I'll miss it. I'll miss 7 to 10 o'clock at night. I'll miss hitting a home run. I won't miss the early workouts in spring training. I won't miss leaving my family. I won't miss being on the training table, getting treatment. I'm not going to miss any of that stuff. But yeah, from 7 to 10 o'clock, I'll miss that time. But that'll fade eventually.
Teixeira is a 5-time Gold Glove winner and a 3-time Silver Slugger. He won the World Series with the Yankees in 2009. He is also only the fifth player in MLB history to reach 400 home runs as a switch hitter. Coach Marvin Lewis says his Cincinnati Bengals are a little beat up after a week of preseason drills. In addition to the chest injury suffered by rookie cornerback William Jackson III, Lewis says the Bengals are dealing with their share of bumps and bruises. He shrugs off the situation, saying that's just part of the business of football.
We train, and you train in the off season. You hope guys, you know, you can avoid some of the unnecessary things that occur, but just occasionally, guys, things happen. And they're minor, as many times as you have collisions and things, and you're like, oh my God, everybody gets up. And then next time, you know, something minor, and you find out later that somebody's got an injury that's going to keep them out for a little bit.
The Bengals host Minnesota a week from today in their first exhibition game. The attorney for a woman who accused two Florida football players of sexual assault has informed the university that she will not attend a code of conduct hearing because a Gator sports booster was assigned to adjudicate the case. Colorado-based attorney John Kloon wrote an email to the university's general counsel that the woman, her family, and five witnesses were boycotting the hearing that was scheduled for Friday. Receiver Antonio Callaway and quarterback Trayon Harris were suspended by the university in January for code of conduct violations. There are no police records of a complaint against Callaway and Harris. With the Eagles finishing at 7-4 last year, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier says his team is going with the theme "Soar Higher" for the 2016 season. Tenure says MSU's players started using it last December when they got into their off-season workouts.
I think our kids really built off of what we did and what we accomplished last year. We had a tremendous winter. It was one of the best spring practices I've been associated with. And we lost a lot of good players from last year's class, and so that's a concern always as you enter spring. And, you know, it was next man up, and our players did an outstanding job. I felt like we really taken the next step in our development. I think we're a more physical team. I think we're stronger and faster.
The veterans for the MSU football team joined the freshmen at the Eagles summer training camp earlier today. Things are getting serious at the Round County football team's preseason camp. The Vikings have begun full contact work, and Coach Gene Peterson says it's time to separate the men from the boys.
Absolutely. that's kind of where, you make some decisions and find out, where we need to concentrate our efforts in as far as coaching and filling up some spots.
The Vikings will scrimmage Russell in the EKC Gridorama a week from tomorrow at Raceland High School. After doing tests of the Eagles' fitness Wednesday, Coach Warren Lipka is leading the Morehead State soccer team through the start of preseason practices. According to Lipka, it's time for his players to put on their hard hats and get to work.
I expect our people that, understand what their role is on the team to come in and do what they need to do. And I expect people who we knew that were going to be, people we need to work with to maybe be a little bit shell-shocked. We're expecting our leaders and the people that we've invested, that time and work in to come in and be ready.
The Morehead women don't have much time to get ready. They face Louisville in an exhibition contest in 9 days. And finally, this afternoon, there's going to be no shortage of samba, culture, or diversity in the opening ceremony for the 2016 Summer Olympics as Brazil proudly showcases its traditions and environmental wonders. Millions of television viewers from around the world are expected to watch the 3-hour ceremony in Rio de Janeiro tonight, which comes as the country is reeling from political and economic turmoil. In all, 4,800 performers and volunteers will be involved in the show at Rio's Maracana Stadium. NBC will be broadcasting the opening ceremony on a one-hour tape delay because it wants the extravaganza to be shown completely in the U.S. in prime time. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State football season tickets are now available with 6 home games on the schedule, including Campbell, Marist, Jacksonville, and Virginia Military Institute at 6 p.m. on Saturday, September 10th. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2368 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed sharply higher, with the S&P and the NASDAQ closing at record high levels. This after a stronger-than-expected jobs report. And the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 191.48 at 18,543.53. The S&P 500 was up 18.62 at 2182.87. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 54.87 at 5221.12. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 21-8 in favor of winning stocks over losers. And as mentioned, the jobs report today was quite strong, as the non-farm payroll report showed a gain of 255,000 jobs in July, and this was well above the expected 180,000, and the unemployment rate remained unchanged at 4.9%. In the oil markets, they took a breather after 2 straight days of gains, with U.S. crude oil settling down about 0.3% at $41.80 a barrel. The weekly rig count data from Baker Hughes showed the U.S. added 7 rigs. And earnings season began winding down, with Allianz and Novo Nordisk, among others, posting results before the bell. Novo Nordisk was under pressure today because of a disappointing earnings report. Next week, a slew of retail firms will be reporting quarterly results, including Nordstrom and Macy's. Overseas, European markets rose broadly, with a Stock 600 index advancing about 1%. Asian markets were mixed, with the Nikkei 225 closing flat and the Shanghai Composite slipping about 0.2%. Gold futures for December delivery settled $23 lower at $1,344.40 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Merck and J.P. Morgan, and your worst performers were Verizon and Procter & Gamble. in the S&P 500, Merck was actually the best performer there, and also EOG Resources and Quanta Services were among your best performers among S&P stocks, and your worst performers in the S&P were Bristol-Myers and Chesapeake Energy. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 37 cents at 114.22, CSX up 58 cents at 28.63, Marathon Petroleum up $1.26 at 41.90, AEP down 79 cents at 67.85, and AK Steel was unchanged at 6.16. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
The time is 4:45, and you're tuned into Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. Stay tuned at 5 o'clock. An all-new All Things Considered from NPR is coming on. And taking one last look at your extended weather forecast for the Moorhead listening area, tonight mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, patchy valley fog late and lows near 71 degrees. Chance of rain is at 30%. On Saturday, mostly cloudy skies with patchy valley fog early, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs near 85 degrees. Chance of rain is at 50%. On Saturday night, partly cloudy with patchy valley fog, lows in the mid-60s. And on Sunday, sunny skies with patchy valley fog early, highs near 85 degrees. For Sunday night, mostly clear with lows around 60 degrees in the valleys and around 65 on the ridges. And for Monday, mostly sunny skies with highs near 85 degrees. Monday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the upper 60s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs near 85 degrees. And Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows near 69 degrees. Taking a look at the current temperatures around the region, it is 89 degrees in Ashland, 88 degrees in Flemingsburg, 87 degrees in Inez, 89 in Lexington, 89 in Winchester, and it is currently setting at 89 degrees in Moorhead. And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Dan Conti, Ellen Barnett, from the Kentucky News Network, Ted Weirbin, Suzanne Duvall, and Haley Hansen. Our feature today from MSU Professor John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Courtney Howell. For Moorhead State Public Radio news, stay tuned. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.
do it million time. I will do it loud.